good day. You are listening to a podcast, but this isn't just any podcast. Just any podcast couldn't do this. Or this. What the? This is the podcast starring the Ted's. Starring the Ted. Start. The. Starring the Ted Smith and Cobb.
The podcast starts.
You better wear a helmet now.
All right, welcome back, everybody, to a brand new episode of The Podcast. I'll be the host of this here podcast. I'm Ted Smith. Greatest podcast in all the land.
All the land.
The bottom square. Actually, his square is in Mexico. And Cobb's not here. All right, on the equal square with me today, even our satellites down in the other desert, goes by the name of Matt Comer, the producer of MCTP. What's up, Matt?
Hey, Ted. Great to see you.
Yeah, man.
Not sure if you noticed this new Corey Feldman tank top that I'm rocking, but I'm pretty pleased with it.
All right, how was he?
Dude, he was absolutely awesome. I mean,
all right, hang on. Let me explain this. I've heard two different things. I've heard people say, he can actually play. And then I've heard most people have been like, it was a train wreck, but I'm glad I saw it.
Yeah. So his band can play. And he's having a blast up there. Kind of in his own world, you know? He's not the best guitar player. But his other guitar player, you know, and they all have, like, good poppy sensibilities. He spent time with the King of Pop. So he knows, and he does some MJ moves up there. But by the time I saw the last date of the Loserville tour, or Low Serve Ill tour, as it says on this shirt, so by that point I knew what was coming. You know, I knew Corey Feldman, he had gone somewhat viral for a couple moments earlier in the tour. And I was really excited about it. I watched an interview with him. You know, I was pretty fired up. So we got there nice and early. I had a little pre-funk kicking in, a little edible. And then it was just perfect. I timed it perfect. There was some weird host guy right as the edible's like kicking in hard. The show starts with the host of the show jumping out of the bushes like 30 yards to my right. And I'm watching him on edibles. Like,
all right, I gotcha.
And he just comes out of the bushes with the microphone and the camera.
Is this like an airplane edible? Like, just like, screw it, I'm going all
super
in.
Strong. Yeah,
all
just
right, attaboy.
Just sending it just for Corey Feldman. And he, the guy, the host comes out, starts screaming in the mic, yelling, Loserville this, Loserville that, starts coming through the section, comes right up to me, and shoves the microphone in my face.
What?
I was like, yeah. And because he's just yelling, and I just yell like, yeah. And he's like, you're not saying anything. And I was like, it's great to be here.
Like, did he ask a question? Or
no, but he told me that I wasn't saying enough when he was yelling like, Loserville. And then the guy in front of me, he gave the microphone to, was like, yeah. And he put it to me, and I was like, yeah. And thinking we were just doing yes and woos. And then he's like, you're not saying anything. And I was like, can this guy tell how high I am? Like, why are you with me right now, bro? Like, I gave you some stuff, keep it moving. And then Corey Feldman started, and yeah, I was pretty fired up by that point. Started with comeback.
Did the host say anything else, or did it go from
you just kept moving to the next guy? Yeah,
all right. So you weren't the last word before Corey Feldman came on.
No. The host like continued, jumped on some chairs a little bit in front, and then within like 20 seconds or a minute, whatever, not a lot of time, Corey Feldman started, and they hit his intro video. But this dude in the pink suit just jumped out of the bushes and came straight for me with the microphone, cameraman in tow, as I was like, I timed this high perfectly for Corey Feldman. And then I'm like, not for this though. Who is this guy? So it was quite the experience. We can talk more about it, but Corey Feldman was one of the highlights for sure, but it was very, you know, fun and tongue in cheek. And I was laughing just as much as I was grooving to the music, but he's a hell of a showman, and he was clearly having a great time, and I wanted to be having as much fun as him in my seat. And I think I came close.
I mean, that's fair. I like that. He's having a great time, but I'm just like, I don't know. That's just wild.
Have you seen any of the videos?
I've seen them online. Like, a lot of people were posting stuff last week, right? Because that show was in town.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, people are like, oh, he can do this, he can do that. I'm like, oh, excuse me. Like, all right. But yeah, I heard kind of completely different factors. For instance, Miggs was like, it was awesome. And well, same thing, but he just kind of said it was awesome. And then I talked to other people that went to the show, and they were like, it's fun to watch, but it's not like he's good.
Right. I mean, it was fun. And then as you go through the whole show, like, Nate No Face, I mean, if people were at the show when it was in Auburn, you know. If you don't, like, there's this dude, Nate No Face. There was these other guys, Bones, that were just like this hardcore rap. Like, they were really good. It was Bones was awesome. And Limp Bizkit. So the whole thing was very extreme in its own, like, everybody was pretty avant-garde in a way, I guess, and like fun. And it was just this very circus like vibe that Corey Feldman, I thought, fit right into.
All right, that makes sense.
Like, after I saw the rest of the show, because to see Corey Feldman, now I have to watch all the other bands between him and Limp Bizkit, I'm like, wow, that made a lot of sense in its own Fred Durst way.
Yeah, that makes sense to put him first, because that way people will watch the other two bands.
Yeah. Yeah. So I had a great time. Max had a great time. He got much higher than me. And had a very, very good time. He snuck into the pit, and yeah, it was just a great vibes all around. Like, you couldn't believe what Limp Bizkit has become from what they were in 99 or 2001, that era. Like, it was a very happy time for all three of us that drove together.
I mean, that's fair. Like, I always say it, like, Snifkin Other. I mean, I used to wear that CD out in my car.
Oh, man. Yeah, it's so good. And yeah, I mean, there was so many like random little moments that it felt like it had a vibe to it. Like, Loserville is a perfect name for it. The people watching was as like top tier as you would expect. And the show just delivered. I mean, Limp Bizkit must have had like at least 100 people side stage on both sides. Like, it was really just a party up there. Yeah, including Corey Feldman was part of the onstage crowd. And I was fixated on Corey Feldman. I didn't realize a tall dude was blocking my view of Fred Durst for like three songs, because I was just watching Corey Feldman. I was like, Tara, can you believe this tall guy? She's like, he's been here. Like, I was like, yeah, but I was just watching Corey Feldman. Now I'm trying to look at Fred Durst. I can't see shit. Like, but I was, Corey Feldman was just so having such a good time up there during Limp Bizkit's set too. But I mean, I thought the stage was going to collapse. I've never seen so many people on one of those stages.
How was Limp Bizkit?
Killed it.
All right. Yeah, I saw them once in concert, but that was literally in the fall of 2000.
Oh, no way.
Yeah.
At their peak.
Yeah. Yeah. Dude. I saw them at an HF festival, and it was in the fall. Or I guess it was, no, it must have been the fall of 1999, because they're like, we're having two HF festivals. Everybody thought the world might end with
Y2K?
Y2K.
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember going to that show, and I mean, you're right, Limp Bizkit was on top of the world then. I mean, right, it was them. It was, right, I saw 311, who at that point I didn't really know, but I was like, during the day, like on the floor at RFK, I was like, this is pretty cool.
Yeah.
Turns out I do like 311. I didn't really mess around with anything then, but I also remember people in my group were like, we're going to eat mushrooms. And I was like, all right, like, I'm not, blah, blah, blah. So then, what was I going to say? Like, Bush came out, you know, Gavin Rosdale, Bush, they just crush it.
Yeah.
Then it was like the Chemical Brothers, right? I really wasn't into that kind of stuff yet. So I was like, this is weird. It's like nighttime now.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Rum DMC was a special guest during the day. Fred Durst was just like, I brought a surprise. And then I remember before Durst came out, everybody started flinging water bottles, plastic water bottles. It was like fireflies. There were so many of them. But like people in my group were tripping. So they were getting all weirded out and scared. And it's like at this point, all my friends are gone. It's just like me, my sister, and her two friends. They're like tripping. And I'm just like, hang on. Like, right.
Yeah.
Like, now that I've done that stuff, the worst thing you say to somebody, like, just chill out. We've got to see.
Chill out.
Right. And by the time Limp Bizkit came out, I mean, it was raucous, to say the least.
Oh, like, man.
There was, like, mosh pits all around us. Like, remember, like, he had, like, a giant inflatable dildo that he was, like, using as his penis on the stage. Like, it was chaos. And I think I only saw, like, half the set before somebody's like, I can't take this anymore. It's like, all right. But yeah, it was fun.
I mean, that's the energy they bring. You know, it's an interesting thing. After the show, I mean, we had seats that were in the, fourth row of the section, you know, kind of decent, but a chair, right? And then we had a good time. We're high as hell. Like, Max went into the pit, but he was like way higher. And so his stories is just like the spiritual experience. It's not like, hard. But then the next day, Max sent me a thing on Instagram. It was a minute and a half Instagram reel of like 12 different fights and two fires broke out on the lawn. It's like,
and you were in the lawn?
No, we were in seats.
Or the seats. Okay.
We had no idea. Right. We're like, yeah, this is great. You know, they played Break Stuff twice. We just had so much fun.
It's a great song, but I can see where people would go a little overboard. What day of the week did you see him?
Saturday.
All right. So they played up here. It was like a Wednesday or something.
Okay. Oh,
so
yeah.
I'm like, I bet the Saturday show.
We got like a Saturday show for the last day of tour. And apparently it's like a 65,000 person venue. It's the largest amphitheater.
Damn.
And Glen Helen in San Bernardino. It's massive, and it was almost sold out. Like, that was where I went and saw Kid Rock a few years ago, and it was not almost sold out, Kid Rock. And I was like, that place is pretty big. Like, Kid Rock, when you looked from the bottom of the lawn up, you saw that half the lawn was empty. But when you went to the top of the crowd and you looked down, you said, wow, this is a huge crowd, when you can't see all the empty grass behind you. But Limp Bizkit had it like much further up the lawn, sold out. So people were wilding on a Saturday night for sure, partying like it's 1999. I mean, like, I think there's an added thing with the Woodstock element of like people want to, live. And I'm like, dude, that was 30 years ago, guys. Come on. Like, we're old now, man. Like, it was the people that were, there for Limp Bizkit when Limp Bizkit was huge, people our age or older that were getting the rowdiest. Like, people had their kids, but I didn't see any kids way younger than me on that video wiling out. I saw a bunch of sloppy parents.
I was gonna say, right? And like, you don't drink anymore, but I people were just rifling drinks too before Limp Bizkit came on stage.
It was
like,
messy.
We're gonna rage tonight.
Yeah, like the least psychedelic like crowd that I would want to, be going hard for. Like, it's just like the visuals and the vibe I could see, but like navigating that Limp Bizkit crowd while you're on mushrooms going to the bathroom doesn't sound like a lot of fun to me.
No, it sounds horrible. I remember once, this was years and years ago. We were at, it was like a bunch of people from work, and we were at White River for, N Fest or whatever.
Okay.
So like, right. Like the Chili Peppers were going to play. I remember Mars Volta played.
Yeah.
They were super good. But at some point during like intermission of the bands, like I'm sitting up on the lawn and it's like salespeople from work or whatever, but we like smoke a joint. This dude comes by and he like just sits in the grass next to us. And he's like, do you mind if I get a hit? Like, yeah, sure, whatever. And I'll never forget. I mean, this must have been 2009, 2010. I don't know. It's either way. I haven't really partaken in any psychedelics. And he just looks up at me and he's like, I lost my friends. I go, oh, yeah, you lost friends? He's like, yeah, I'm kind of freaking out, though. And I was like, why are you freaking out? And he's like, oh, I'm on acid. And I go, you're on acid?
Oh, no.
I would be really freaking out. I'll never forget. He just stood up and like walked off like very fast. Right. Like, pretty sure I put that dude in a blender for at least like 10 or 20 minutes, dude.
100%, man. That's so funny.
Yeah. And those amphitheaters, too, like even White River, like White River size doesn't change. But when you're there and it's not that crowded, it's like, you're like, oh, yeah, it's easy to walk around. When that, I've been there when that lawn is completely full. I mean, it feels like it's like twice as big. Like, it's like you're losing where you are in the crowd and stuff. So, like, yeah, I can imagine Saturday night, bunch of old drunk bros still getting after it, lighting a fire though on the lawn. Like, that's just ridiculous.
Yeah. Yeah. It was intense. I mean, even when just before Limp Bizkit, we went to the bathroom. So, like, place is pretty full. It's dark out. The sun has set. It was an intense energy where I was like, we're not watching Corey Feldman in the sunshine anymore, boys.
Yeah. Well, those dudes behind me, they were like, is that mountain on fire? And I was like, it's the moon, dude. Like, I realized, like, oh, they're definitely tripping. Speaking of chaos, college football season kicked off Saturday in Dublin, Georgia Tech, Florida State. So Friday, when I'm at work, I keep seeing Pat McAfee's trending online on Twitter. So I'm like, let me watch some of these clips and see what's going on. Apparently, he had told the audience on the flight over he had taken like 100-milligram edible. And then they're just hammering Guinness. Like, legit, right? Like, I can drink a lot of beer, like, and I know it's a 3-hour broadcast or whatever, and trust me, I've been a part of some broadcasts where some people are drinking.
Yeah.
He must have put down, I'd say, I feel confident in saying at least 8 to 10 pints, if not more, right? So, like, he's getting drunk. Like, at one point towards the end, he's like, oh, we're gonna get shit faced to tear this town up. And it's like, dude, like, you're already there, right? But it was also like, it's fine with me, right? But it was pretty chaotic. And then during the game, who is it? Joe Tessitore and somebody else. Yeah. Like, they're just drinking Guinness in the booth. Now, I don't think they were really drunk, but everybody's just like, oh, this is the way college football should be. Let's go old school. You know what? The announcer wants to have a couple pops during the game. Like, why not? Yeah. And there, you should look it up. There's a picture of him handing a Guinness over like the wall in front of him to the cameraman, because there's a cameraman right below him. And it's like, they're like, this is so good. And there's an 8-hour difference, right? So that game kicked off at 9 a.m. here. Right.
Okay.
10, 11, 12, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Right. So it's the evening there. So I'm sure they were like, oh, yeah, we'll take a couple beers.
Yeah.
The only other event like that I could think of is like the Kentucky Derby, because it's like sponsored by Woodford Reserve. And it's like, we have to taste test these mint juleps.
Yeah.
Like, that's about the only pro sporting event where I'm like, I don't think the play by play guy is drunk, but like, I feel like some of these other people are blatantly boozing. Yeah. On the broadcast.
Oh, that's awesome. Yeah, I've for the sports especially, like, it's tough to do. I feel like back in the day, the play-by-play guy would have like a whiskey and a cigar going or something, but like these days, much more buttoned up.
Yeah, even in like the 90s, there were still some of those old school NFL guys that did like the local color commentary. And yeah, like one guy in DC was Sonny Jurgensen, but he was pretty famous for people knowing that like he was drinking in the booth. Right? Like when I grew up, it was Pat Summerall and John Madden were the top guys. But Summerall, who I think by the end, like a year or two before he died, was like, oh man, I should have stopped drinking years ago. But like, he was pretty up for it. Like, he was just like, yeah, we used to get drunk during the game.
Yeah.
Or like, do you know Brent Musburger, right?
Yeah.
Pretty famous. But like, yeah, over the years, I guess the rules have changed. But he got popped like in the back of a town car, like leading the stadium, and they gave him a ticket for having an open container. He wasn't driving, but I'm just like, I kind of respect the fact that he must have like signed off the air and like drank a beer and then like brought a couple more. And like, by the time his town car, like he couldn't even make it out of the stadium before he started cracking cold ones. So I'm just like, damn.
So awesome.
Yeah. Right.
Oh man. Yeah. I mean, I don't drink anymore, but I still love like that sort of energy, you know, like, especially, I mean, you said that was pretty recently.
Yeah, the Musburger, I feel like him getting that open container ticket was within like the last 10 years. Right?
That's
Which
so
I can't,
good.
I mean, I get it, right? He's broadcasting, he's done. It's, you know, 11 o'clock at night. It's like, screw it, I'm not driving. I mean, you shouldn't do it. You can't have an open container in a car. But like, I could fathom why he was like, screw it, I'm cracking a beer.
Right, and especially when it's like, dude, this is clear. My driver's in a suit, man. Like, you know what I mean? In a professional driver situation, it's like, this is basically a limo. Now, if there's a window, like party buses, like how can you, or is that just state by state? But I feel like you can drink in the back of a limo, right?
You can, but I think the rule might be as simple as just the separator with that window.
Okay.
You know what I mean? I mean, it might be just that easy. So
that's
feel
the
like,
only thing I'd wonder about. And then if he's like, I'm never riding another town car. It's only limos.
like
to the
he
network.
Just jumps it up. Yeah.
Did like, you no. ever lowball me like that ever again? You guys are paying my legal fees. It's an embarrassment.
Right. I'm with you. If I was, I'd be like, that's why I told you to get me a limo, dude. I don't want to have to go through this.
Never again. I know it's just me. Get the stretch. Don't care. They only have a Hummer, so be it.
Yeah, right. You think Herb Street's getting taken out in a town car? Right. No.
Get limo. Out of here.
Yeah, I know. And well, it's funny too, is it's like maybe they should play more games in Dublin. It's like, yeah, but part of college football is going to your home stadium and this and that. Like, I like right. The idea of the broadcasters getting loose over there, but it's like, I don't want to watch every game from Dublin.
Right. But I do think that's a good, like, annual kickoff tradition. Like, have they done that before? Or is that this is the first time they ever went overseas like that?
No, they have. So it used to be Notre Dame would go over, like, every 3 or 4 years and play a game. And that was the one I was going to go to, Notre Dame and Navy, when I was turning 40.
Okay.
But they canceled it because of COVID. But like over the years, the Irish have like Irish and other Europeans, like they'll just, if you like American football, that's the closest you're going to see it. It's like, if you live in Germany, it's like, well, let's take an hour flight over to Dublin. Right.
Yeah.
Watch this game. So the games started getting so popular. They just call it, I think they just call it the Dublin series now.
Okay.
So, like, I still think Notre Dame probably goes over like every 3 or 4 years, but like, yeah, they just put matchups over there now, like let's go play there.
Okay. Yeah, that's cool. Is it always at the first game of the season?
Correct. Yeah.
Okay.
And it's, and that was what they technically call week zero, because this weekend coming up, Labor Day weekend, like there's a lot, almost every college football team actually plays this weekend.
Yeah.
So that counts as week one. So I
what's
think
your schedule like this week? I mean, I remember I got kickoff college football Saturday with you 1 year at the Lake House, and it was like, That was legendary.
Oh, it's the best, right? And like, dude, it's been legit like fall up here. Like Saturday, we had a men's room event over at Mike's Chili Parlor.
Yeah.
And like, dude, it was just like Friday was like rain all day, like 60 some degrees. And then even at Mike's, like the rain had kind of let up. And then halfway through the event, I went out to the deck to like get a breath of air. And I was like, oh man, it's pissing rain again.
Whoa.
But yeah, like you could tell it's getting to be fall, but this weekend we're supposed to creep back into the 80s. So like perfect, kind of like we did at the Lake House, just right, like 80 some degrees. So it's warm enough to go swimming, but it's still cool enough for a hoodie at night. And then you got, you know, there's some big matchups on this weekend.
Yeah. Yeah.
And even if your school's not playing somebody good, who cares? Just go tailgate, enjoy the sun. And
yeah.
Like, I mean, like I think the Huskies have like a random like 8 p.m. game or something. So people okay. are like, and I don't even know who they're playing, but like people at the party were like, dude, I'm tailgating all day for that. It's yeah. Like, yeah, that could be fun. And then also Metallica's in town Friday and Sunday.
Okay. Wow.
Yeah.
That's action packed.
It is.
Are
it
you
is.
Going to either of the Metallica shows?
I don't. Somebody offered me a ticket for Friday, but my schedule's a little up in the air. I was supposed to be out of town this weekend, so I wasn't going to go. But if I end up in town, I might try to sneak in there Sunday night.
Okay, cool.
I still might end up leaving town. I don't know.
Okay.
Just like, you know, it's Labor Day weekend. Let's do something. But like, there's no NFL. I mean, look, if you were in town, I'd be like, hey, tell old Mitch we're running it back on Saturday.
Yeah. Yeah, that's cool. That'll be a good weekend. I'm just excited for just to have it start back up. Like, I'm not the biggest college football guy. I'm more into it because Carson the lawyer down here is really into it, and you know, he's just a fun dude to hang out with when he's enthusiastic about things, and he's enthusiastic about a lot of things. So, but like college football this year, he's got that gigantic TV, like 90 inches or something. I'm pretty excited. I don't think that's this Saturday, but yeah, we're gonna get it going soon. And it's just sign of the times.
SC's playing somebody big this weekend too.
Okay.
But yeah, I mean, also it's just fun to watch football that matters. I mean, that was the other thing. Saturday night wasn't bad at our event, right? It was 5 to 8, 7 p.m., Seahawks kick off. Like, the starters are in.
Yeah.
So it's like, oh, this people actually care about watching this today, at least like the first quarter. So, like, yeah. That part was awesome.
Oh, that's super cool. You get any LARP ons at the event?
Got a couple LARP ons, which was good. Right. Yeah, SC is playing LSU. So, number 23 SC. Is playing, I believe, at number 13 LSU on Sunday. And that's the only game on Sunday at 4:30 p.m.
Okay. And yeah. Are they calling it the Big 26 or whatever it is now?
Still the Big 10, but on their uniforms, it just says Big.
It's, okay. It's so,
trust me, it's so annoying and confusing. It's like... It's like none of the school, like, right, like people, the schools are on both sides of the coast. So it's still Big Ten football, but it's like, yeah, it's not what it used to be.
Okay.
But yeah, that's probably the biggest game of the weekend. And that's on Sunday. But I mean, okay. Dude, even back in the day, like Miami plays, I think Miami's at Florida, but like Miami used to play Florida State back in the early 2000s. Same thing on that Sunday of Labor Day weekend. And I mean, I can remember me and DB and a couple dudes, like we'd always get together. Like there's more big games on Labor Day weekend now, but traditionally that Sunday of Labor Day weekend was always like the big matchup.
Okay.
Of like the weekend. So yeah. Like, yeah. And it's kind of nice too, is it's like, you know, it's like a bonus Saturday. Most people have Labor Day off. So it's like, all right, 4:30, 7:30 start on the East Coast. You know what I mean? Like, you've been having fun doing whatever. Now it's like, oh, we got an actual football game that matters.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I mean, the preseason, I mean, even just camp. I haven't watched Hard Knocks this season, but the Seahawks do like a YouTube edition of basically the same thing. That's like, you know, 28-minute episode, you know, or something. But like, I've been watching the Seahawks, you know, preseason hype videos and camp hype videos and just getting ready. But, you know, obviously there's a ton of roster turnaround, but yeah, once the games start meaning something, like it's just fun to have my weekends taken care of again.
Like, yeah.
There's football on.
Right. Cause you go through, like, to me, there's always like times of the year, right? And yeah. There's like times where you might watch a movie at home on like Saturday or Sunday. We call that like February and March, right? Yeah. But then by the midway through, when you get towards the end of March, you get like hoops starting up, and then it's like you get the Derby. And then before you know it, it's getting warm. So it's like, well, we got stuff to do on the weekends.
Right.
But you're right. Like at this point, it's like we're days away from Labor Day. Like for a lot of people, summer's been long, and it's like, all right, no more random whatever on Saturdays and Sundays. Like, we're gonna watch some football.
Right. And have we declared like that? Is Labor Day the official start of dip season?
I mean, it used to, I moved it around. It used to always be like October, November, but I don't know. I feel like maybe that one time we did it at the lake house, that was like,
we might have.
That might be like, all right, football's on. We could start making dips.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, at least time to start, you know, making sure you know where your recipe book is. Get ready. Dust off the slow cooker.
I was gonna say the crock pot. That's the big winner that's back. And yeah. It's like, I mean, I still use it during the summer for like pork shoulder or something, but like, right, you get to this time of year, it's like, ooh, we could even make chili again.
Yeah.
All right. I'll remind people, remember, tomorrow, if you're listening to this, Thursday night, you can go up to the Evergreen State Fair. Our buddy Josh is having that show. I believe it starts at 7. Forget the first band, but then Randy Hansen's going to do the national anthem. He'll play a set, then you'll have Zeparella playing too. So yeah. Get up there, you know, have some fun. It's the fair. Get a scone. Yep. Get something crazy.
TributeTrilogy.com.
Yeah, nice work. Yeah, that's the other thing I was telling somebody. We were talking about fair food on Thursday, last Thursday on the men's room, and I was like, look, I got a guest on the podcast last night. Like, I like how right away she was like, oh, our friends found the vegan booths. It's like, yeah, it's a state fair. Like, I don't care. Like, not really. To me, that's not a super booze event, but most of them have like a beer garden or whatever. Like, if you can't find some kind of like food or snack or something or dessert at a state fair, it's like, I don't know what you're looking for, but it doesn't exist.
Right. Right. They got everything.
I guess we really don't have to take a break. Is there more to what's mattening? What else did you do this weekend, Matt, besides just go watch Biscuit?
Yeah, that was Loserville. That was Saturday. Sunday, I golfed with my girlfriend, and she played about 12 holes or so, and then just like chilled in the cart, and I finished the 18. And so it was fun to get her out there. You know, I'm out there a lot and I love it, you know, but she doesn't get the chance as often. And so, yeah, it's fun to, and then of course I spaz out and I played the next day. I'm like, so you remember on hole 15, that orange bush, I went at it again on accident. So now I expect her to know everything about
the layout of the course.
Yeah.
The idea too that you're just like, you're right, honey. I should have gone with a 6, but I hit a 7 again. And she's like, I didn't tell you, I'm not your caddy. I didn't tell you what club.
Yeah. No, it was great getting out there. And then that night, that was the day, like, she went to some girls' night thing after we golfed, and then there's footage from like the early 2000s, Jack Nicklaus playing that course with Tiger Woods on the same team. And
oh, nice.
So the footage on YouTube, I wouldn't recommend to anyone else because it's a video of a TV playing a VCR recording of the match. Right? So it's pretty, but when you were just on the course, you know, and then you see Tiger and Jack playing it together, and there's all the aerial shots and the thousands of people on the sides of the fairways and stuff. It's like, dude, I was just there. I had the whole place to myself. I was done in, you know, under 3 hours. Like, that's, it was just a really, I had heard that happened. I knew the footage was on YouTube. I actually tried to do this last summer when I was playing on the other side of the course on the other 18. And then I looked it up and I was like, oh, that's the different course. And so, yeah, playing that and then watching that footage was like just a really, really cool moment that just made me pretty fired up about the state of things. And, you know, yeah, I just got a lot of cool clients. One of the things we were talking about football, I just realized like every year before all my clients show up, I have like time, I get really into football. And yep. Then my clients show up and I'm like, damn, I should have studied more training stuff. I was just reading about the injuries and the you know, all this stuff. And then they show up and they all love football. And I'm like, dude, I'm so glad I follow football as much as I do, because it gives you something to talk about besides the training stuff. Like, they already think I talk about the training stuff too much. So I don't need more of that, actually. It's good to just have the, like, offhand rapport of, like, so now I'm following teams of my clients just so I have a little bit more to do on the football front. And some of them like college more than NFL.
Yeah. Well, and I say this on the air. Like, I get people that are really into the NFL. You're right. It's the best of the best. And, like, college football can be unpredictable. But that's part of the reason I love college football is the chaos.
Like, yeah.
You know what I mean? Also, yeah. Talking about, I don't know where you could find it on the internet, but we're doing our event, right? You know me, chatting up people or whatever. So Geno Smith hits DK. They score that touchdown in the first quarter. I could be wrong. I was drinking beers. But, Matt, I'm telling you, they score that touchdown. I, like, start talking to somebody. They kick the extra point. And then I feel like the next time I look up, DK is already out of his pads and just has his, like, jersey hanging over his shoulder. And I'm like, was there somebody there? Like, did he run straight from the end zone to the equipment guy? Like, just fucking take him off.
Can't do this. Like, it's preseason.
Dude, it was that quick. I'm just like, damn.
Dude, that's wild. I mean, I really haven't watched any of the preseason this year. Not because I didn't want to. Like, I was actually more curious than ever because of the new coaching staff and turnover. It just didn't pan out with the schedule that way. And, you know, it's preseason. I'm not going to worry about it. There's going to be plenty of football when it starts. And watching those guys go through camp that are, you know, it's like I said, I haven't watched Hard Knocks, but it's just such a fascinating, like, story up until cut day. The whole preseason drama, like, I didn't watch a single game, but I probably watched like 5 hours of podcasts about the games every week.
Yeah.
Various Seahawks nerds, shout out Seattle Overload, also on the Odyssey Network. I found out. I think that's awesome. The one dude's got the British accent, Matty Brown. And yeah, I just wanted, yeah, I love watching them now. Like, once we get to the preseason, it's just like, bring it on. So, yeah, I know I'll be watching some college this weekend too. It's going to be a lot of fun.
Yeah, man, I'm pumped for it as well. Let's see, we should be back next week, but I don't know, cop's still in Mexico and I should be here, but I might be out of town. I'm hoping to be. Oh. I should be here, so, like, we'll put it as a tentative 65%. We'll have a new episode next week.
That's good bet. I would say take the over.
All right. Other than that, if you do have the weekend, well, if you don't have the weekend off, you got to work this weekend. Thanks for working. If you do have it off, man, I don't know. If you're out of town, enjoy it. If you're in town, whatever town you're in, especially in Seattle, this could be the last time we pop 80 for a while. So I would say get out there, put on some sunscreen and live it up. All right. For MCTP, I'm the Ted Smith. This is the podcast. Cheers.